the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network presents Vatican Insider with Joan Lewis. Each week, Joan brings you news from inside the Vatican and the Church around the world, as well as interviews and answers to your questions. Now, here's the host of Vatican Insider, Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider on this weekend of Divine Mercy Sunday, the second Sunday of Easter. This week, in what is normally the interview segment of Vatican Insider, I bring you on a pilgrimage with the Via Lucis. After the news segment, stay tuned for the special story about the Via Lucis, the Way of Light, basically a post-Easter journey through 14 stations of light, the light that fills our life because of the resurrection. This devotion is also known as the Stations of the Resurrection, as it encourages the faithful to meditate on the resurrection of Jesus and on his post-resurrection appearances to the disciples and others. A fascinating story. But now, the news highlights. Easter Sunday, April 5th. The splendor, pageantry, history, and beauty of Easter in the Vatican is absolutely unique as the Church celebrates the most unique event in the history of mankind, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pope Leo, presiding at his first Holy Week liturgies, celebrated Easter Sunday Mass in a sun-kissed St. Peter's Square with over 50,000 faithful. In his homily, he explained how all creation today is resplendent with new light, and we rejoice as, quote, a song of praise rises from the earth. Christ is risen from the dead, and with him we too rise to new life. He held true to the splendor of Easter Sunday, not only with an inspiring Mass, but also the very beautiful and powerful Urbi and Orbi to the city and the world, address and blessing. The Holy Father spoke mainly in Italian, after which he addressed the faithful in the square and all of us at home in 10 languages, including Arabic and Chinese, each of which was welcomed by enthusiastic applause. One important moment was when the Pope announced that on Saturday, April 11th, the Vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday, he will hold a prayer vigil for peace in St. Peter's Basilica. Monday, April 6th, was a Vatican and Italian holiday known as Pasquetta, Little Easter, and also Monday of the Angel. Pope Leo, both Sunday and Pasquetta, chanted the Regina Caeli in place of the Angelus. That is done up to Pentecost. At the Regina Caeli on Easter Monday, Leo XIV called on Christians to bear witness to the gospel in a context marked by misinformation, conflict, and social deprivation. Often the proclamation of truth is obscured by what we today call fake news, lies, insinuations, and unfounded accusations. Leo underscored the importance of allowing the gospel truth to reach those, quote, oppressed by the evil that corrupts history and confuses consciences, so that the paschal mystery in both word and deed may give a new voice to hope. Fortunately, after all the arduous Holy Week liturgies, Pope Leo XIV was able to go to Castel Gandolfo Monday afternoon to spend the night and returned to the Vatican Tuesday evening. Tuesday evening, April 7th, addressing journalists in Castel Gandolfo prior to returning to the Vatican, Pope Leo XIV called for a return to the negotiating table to pursue peaceful solutions. He stressed that attacks on civilian infrastructure are against international law. Against the backdrop of the U.S.-Israel war against Iran and the U.S. president's threat to destroy, quote, the whole Iranian civilization, on Tuesday night, if Tehran does not comply with the deadline set by the White House to reach a deal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. The Pope said he wished simply to say once again what he had said in his Urbi and Orbi message on Sunday, quote, asking all people of goodwill to always search for peace and not violence, to reject war, especially a war that many people have said is unjust, which is continuing to escalate and which is not resolving anything. Speaking Italian, Leo said, today, as we all know, there has been this threat against the entire people of Iran, and this is truly unacceptable. There are certainly issues of international law here, but even more, it is a moral question concerning the good of the people as a whole in its entirety. Leo XIV did not neglect to shine the light on the wide-reaching consequences of the conflict, and he said, "We have a worldwide economic crisis, an energy crisis, and a situation in the Middle East of great instability, which is only provoking more hatred throughout the world. Come back to the table. Let's talk. Let's look for solutions in a peaceful way." Continuing, he said, "Let's remember especially the innocent, children, the elderly, the sick, so many people who have already become or will become victims of this continued warfare." And he reminded people that attacks on civilian infrastructure are against international law, and they are also a sign of the hatred, division, and destruction that the human being is capable of. "I would invite the citizens of all the countries involved," he concluded, "to contact the authorities, political leaders, congresspeople, to ask them, to tell them, to work for peace and to reject war and violence. Thank you very much." Also Tuesday, in a message to the inhabitants of the conflict-battered village of Debel in southern Lebanon, Leo XIV expressed his spiritual closeness to those suffering amid war, and he extended his consolation to all Christians of southern Lebanon. Archbishop Paolo Borgia, Apostolic Nuncio, conveyed the Pope's proximity and paternal tenderness to the communities affected by the ongoing violence. The message was intended to be delivered in person during a pastoral visit, along with 3 trucks of humanitarian aid, but the journey was halted due to ongoing Israeli attacks in the area. So, Bishop Borgia read the papal message on Lebanese television, directly addressing the people of Debel and other affected communities in the south of the country. Lebanon and Turkey were the destinations of Pope Leo's first foreign apostolic trip. Wednesday, April 8th, at the general audience, Leo XIV continued his catechesis series on the dogmatic constitution Lumen Gentium, noting how it dedicates an entire chapter, number 5, to the universal vocation to holiness of all the faithful, insisting that every one of us is called to live in the grace of God, practicing the virtues and imitating Christ. Holiness is not a privilege for the few, but for all the baptized, and is manifested in our daily life every time we receive it with joy and respond to Him. It's a gift that commits every baptized person to strive for the perfection of charity, that is, the fullness of love towards God and one's neighbor. The Pope remembered in a special way those men and women who consecrate their lives to God through the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience, which express their complete trust in God's providence, modeled on Christ's gift of Himself to the Father with a pure heart. At the conclusion of his general audience on Wednesday, Pope Leo turned his thoughts to the weeks of tension that have been escalating in the Middle East. In light of the announcement of a 2-week ceasefire on the evening of April 7th, the Pope said he welcomed the news with satisfaction and a sign of deep hope. Thursday, April 9th, Pope Leo met with a delegation of Italian Olympic and Paralympic athletes who competed at the Milan Cortina Games, stressing the value of sport as a place of encounter and self-mastery. Sport, when it is lived authentically, he said, does not remain merely a performance. It is a form of language, a story made of gestures, effort, waiting, falls, and new beginnings. In the Paralympic competitions in particular, he said, we observed how limitation can become a place of revelation, not something that hinders the person, but something that can be transformed, even transfigured, into rediscovered qualities. Also Thursday, the Vatican announced that the Catholic Church's World Day of Migrants and Refugees will focus this year on minors on the move, recalling the duty to welcome each one of them as the Gospel teaches us. Even just one of these children, now this is the theme that Pope Leo has chosen for the 112th edition on Sunday, September 27th. Friday, April 10th. Pope Leo welcomed French President Emmanuel Macron, the first time the two have met, and later talks at the Secretary of State included the hope of restoring peaceful coexistence through dialogue and negotiation around the world. Pope Leo also met with a delegation from the Italian National Institute for Social Security, and he urged national welfare systems to promote social responsibility and economic development. INPS, as it is known, acts as Italy's national pension system. Also Friday, meeting with members of the Chaldean Church during their synod in Rome to elect a new patriarch, Pope Leo XIV challenged the Chaldean Catholic Church to stay true to their long and storied mission of peace, especially in a world marked by absurd and inhumane violence, which in these times is driven by greed and hatred. The Holy Father expressed his pleasure at being present with them during this time of precious ecclesial discernment, and he acknowledged the spiritual solidarity of people globally in this moment, participating intensely through prayer. Now, before I close, Pope Leo XIV's prayer vigil for peace on Saturday, April 11th, will be guided by meditations from early church fathers, including St. Augustine of Hippo, and will see faithful from different continents light candles with the fire from the lamp of peace from Assisi. Now, on Monday, April 13th, Pope Leo departs for a 10-day trip to the African nations of Algeria, Cameroon, Angola, and Equatorial Guinea. Pray for him and all those whom he will visit, speak to, and pray with during those 10 days. And you can follow that trip with EWTN. But now, stay tuned for my special on the Via Lucis.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1996. The World Over debuts with Raymond Arroyo. Each week, Raymond challenges viewers with important political and cultural reporting and analysis of a wide variety of topics of interest to Catholics and people of faith.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Mother Angelica had a simple goal when she began EWTN, to reach the world with a gospel message. You can enjoy EWTN live TV and radio streams, EWTN news, program schedules, prayers, and devotionals with the EWTN app. We've never wavered from our mandate to proclaim the truth and majesty of the Catholic faith. Thank you for joining EWTN in this mission.
This is Father Leo Paddlinghug, and why do we need Catholic radio? Well, the answer is simple. The devil, who is very real, uses all forms of communication. And so if we are to understand our purpose in life, it's to make sure that we are not only proclaiming the good news, we're also listening to the good news. And how do you do that? With Catholic radio.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back to Vatican Insider. Here's Joan Lewis.
Welcome to Vatican Insider and a special I've prepared for your enjoyment this weekend. Because we're still in the Easter season, I thought it would be timely, fun, and informative to introduce you to something that very few people know about, the Via Lucis, the Way of Light, the post-Easter Stations of the Cross, if you will. First, let's look at the 50 days of Easter, as explained on the website of the Diocese of Alexandria, Cornwall, in Canada. We spend 40 days preparing for and counting down to the great celebration of Easter, the day that Christians around the world remember the resurrection of Christ. What many do not realize is that Easter is not a single day, but rather is a season made up of 50 days. We continue to live Easter for 6 consecutive Sundays before commemorating Jesus' ascension into heaven. The Easter season culminates the following week with the Feast of Pentecost, the day the apostles were sent out, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, on their great mission. At Masses during the Easter season, the usual Old Testament reading is replaced by readings from the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles recount the story of the Church's earliest days and the beginnings of our faith. These stories of heroism, controversies, persecution, and miracles all testify to the continued presence of the risen Christ in the world through the lives of his disciples and the actions of the Holy Spirit. Well, how is this related to the Via Lucis? The post-Easter period, as told by the apostles, is the Via Lucis. Now, we all know that the Via Crucis, the way of the cross, follows the course of Jesus' passion, death, and burial. This is observed by the devotion to the Stations of the Cross, a collection of 14 images that are to be found in virtually all Catholic churches. What fewer people know about is the Via Lucis, as I said, the Way of Light, the Stations of the Resurrection. And these celebrate the most joyful time in the Christian liturgical year, the 50 days from Easter, the Resurrection, to Pentecost, Descent of the Holy Spirit. The idea for depicting the Way of Light was inspired by an ancient inscription found in a wall of the San Callisto Catacombs on the Appian Way in Rome. This cemetery is named for St. Callistus, a slave who eventually became the sixth pope, reigning from 217 to 222. The inscription found at St. Callistus comes from the first letter that St. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth around 56 A.D., in response to the report that some members were denying the resurrection. Paul wrote, "I delivered to you as of first importance what I had been taught myself, namely, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me too, as though I was born when no one expected it." The words of St. Paul. In the traditional scheme of the Stations of the Cross, the final station is the burial of Jesus. Though this constitutes a logical conclusion to the Via Crucis, it has been increasingly regarded as unsatisfactory as an end point to meditation upon the Paschal mystery, which, according to Christian doctrine, culminates in and is incomplete without the resurrection. For this reason, a 15th station representing the resurrection is sometimes added to the Stations of the Cross. Even this practice, however, has been subject to criticism as insufficiently representing the twofold dynamic of the Paschal mystery, the suffering and death of Jesus on the one hand, and on the other, his resurrection and glorification. Now, in the summer of 1988, Father Sabino Palombieri, professor of anthropology at the Salesian University in Rome, proposed the creation of a new set of stations, centered upon the resurrection and the events following from it, so as to emphasize the positive, hopeful aspect of the Christian story, which, though not absent from the Stations of the Cross, is obscured by their emphasis on suffering. The first major public celebration of this devotion was in 1990, after which it gained greater currency. Father Palombieri helped develop the idea to combine the events mentioned in the St. Callistus inscription with other post-resurrection events to create a new set of stations, the Stations of the Resurrection. As I just said, these new stations emphasize the positive, hopeful aspect of the Christian story that is not absent from the Way of the Cross, but is not as evident because of its tortuous side. The Way of Light, as it was called, thus serves as an optimistic complement to the Way of the Cross, and it was fashioned of 14 stations, paralleling the 14 Stations of the Cross. Father Sabino wrote of this idea in the 1999 document, quote, "Give me a firm footing," that described the realizations he had after a profound crisis of existential meaning because of the prospect of death. This was followed by a study of the Gospels, in which he recognized that with the risen one, I know why I live. And here's what Father Sabino wrote. "Personally, thanks to this turning point of faith, I was able to continually proclaim the risen one And in this way propose, as Pope Paul VI said, Christianity as joy, as continual striving to supersede the stalemate of suffering without an outlet. The Lord Jesus is for me, he who made me meet along my journey hundreds of brothers and sisters, youth and adults, so that together we might better remember this central portent, which is the resurrection from the dead in a community in journey. In this community, wrote Father, a new form of popular piety by his grace was sketched out. It is the Via Lucis, which is the physiological second moment of the Via Crucis, that by now has spread itself throughout the five continents. Its celebration has been accompanied by moments of special grace at Bethlehem, at Moscow, on the soil of the martyrs, in the catacombs of St. Callistus. So many suffering people write to me saying that every day they do a station of the Via Lucis, drawing from it strength, joy, and peace. Also, the very poor communities of Madagascar, of Brazil, Peru. It does not mean abolishing the Via Crucis, which is the mirror of the suffering of Calvary without end in the world. It means only completing it with the Via Lucis, which is the mirror of the hopes of the world, especially of those to whom it most rightly belongs, the poor. Now all the stations of the resurrection are based on scripturally recorded incidents contained in the four Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles. As with the stations of the cross, the devotion takes no fixed form, but typically includes for each station a reading from Scripture, a short meditation, and a prayer. Where a series of pictures is used to aid the devotion, it takes the form of a procession, with movement from one station to the next, sometimes being accompanied by the singing of one or more verses of a hymn. This devotion has received formal recognition by the Vatican's Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. In December 2001, the Holy See promulgated a directory on popular piety in the liturgy, which commended the Via Lucis as follows, quote, "A pious exercise called the Via Lucis has developed and spread to many regions in recent years. Following the model of the Via Crucis, the faithful process while meditating on the various appearances of Jesus, from his resurrection to his ascension, in which he showed his glory to the disciples who awaited the coming of the Holy Spirit, strengthened their faith, brought to completion his teaching on the kingdom, and more closely defined the sacramental and hierarchical structure of the Church. Through the Via Lucis, the faithful recall the central event of the faith, the resurrection of Christ, and of their discipleship in virtue of baptism, by which they have passed from the darkness of sin to the bright radiance of the light of grace. For centuries, the Via Crucis involved the faithful in the first moment of the Easter event, namely the Passion, and helped to fix its most important aspects in their consciousness. Analogously, the Via Lucis, when celebrated in fidelity to the Gospel text, can effectively convey a living understanding to the faithful of the second moment of the Paschal event, namely the Lord's resurrection. The Via Lucis is potentially an excellent teacher of the faith, since, quote, per crucem ad lucem, through the cross one comes to light. Using the metaphor of a journey, the Via Lucis moves from the experience of suffering, which in God's plan is part of life, to the hope of arriving at man's true end, liberation, joy, and peace, which are essentially Paschal values. The Via Lucis is a potential stimulus for the restoration of a culture of life, which is open to the hope and certitude offered by faith, in a society often marked by a culture of death, despair, and nihilism. As of 2007, there is no universally agreed list of stations of the resurrection, nor have any church authorities sought to impose a definitive list. And as a result, some churches have commissioned sets of sculptures for the stations according to their own distinctive scheme, which may not be found elsewhere. This is, in fact, similar to the history of the Stations of the Cross, which attained their normative form only after many centuries of widely varying local practice. There is agreement on the number of stations, 14, to emphasize the complementarity between the Stations of the Cross, Via Crucis, and the Stations of the Resurrection, Via Lucis. In spite of continuing local variability, there appears to be an increasing convergence upon the following 14 as an accepted list of stations of the resurrection. These 14 stations, in fact, appeared in the April 2015 edition of Magnificat, with meditations and prayers and an introduction by Magnificat editor-in-chief, Dominican Father Peter Cameron. Here are those 14 stations. 1. Jesus is raised from the dead. 2. The finding of the empty tomb. 3. Mary Magdalene meets the risen Jesus. 4. Jesus appears on the road to Emmaus. 5. Jesus reveals himself in the breaking of bread. 6. Jesus appears to the disciples in Jerusalem. 7. Jesus gives the disciples his peace and the power to forgive sins. 8. Jesus confirms the faith of Thomas. 9. Jesus appears to disciples on the shore of Lake Galilee. 10. Jesus confers primacy on Peter. 11. Jesus entrusts the disciples with universal mission. 12. The ascension of Jesus. 13. Mary and the disciples await the coming of the Holy Spirit. 14. The Holy Spirit descends at Pentecost. Other sources, however, including some recent ones, replace some of these stations with others such as the earthquake, the angel appearing to the women, Jesus meeting the women, Mary Magdalene proclaiming the resurrection to the beloved disciple, and Jesus appearing to over 500 at once. Also, Jesus appearing to Saul. I hope you enjoyed this program. I loved learning about the Via Lucis, the stations of the resurrection, and I think it would be wonderful to organize a pilgrimage to the Holy Land based on these stations. Thanks for being with me. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
For more information on these stories, or to check out Joan's blog and to ask her a question, go to EWTN.com. That's EWTN.com. Thanks for listening to Vatican Insider on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.